Hey, I got this picture, and I want to make sure everybody sees this picture. Somebody share with me, and here's what I want you to do. Not right now, share, but I want you to look at this, and I want you to tell yourself what you see. What do you see in this picture? That's a pretty cool picture. Can everybody see it back there? I want to make sure everybody gets at least a glimpse. Because at the bottom of this picture, it says, born again. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old has passed. Behold, the new has come. 2 Corinthians 5:7. You guys see that? Somebody nod their head. Let me know you're paying attention. You see that picture? Pretty cool picture. The one who makes all things new is what I'm talking about today. The one who makes all things new. Now, somebody told me on the way in, I was feeling the love. Don't walk in front of speakers. I was feeling the love. They said something to the effect, a good speaker doesn't need props. Hello. I need props. So I confess that right off the top. Well, if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to the book of John. The very first chapter. What a great chapter it is. And I'm going to read the first 14 verses, 1 through 14, because this is going to set the stage for what the Lord has asked me to share today. The one who makes all things new. The key word is all things. It doesn't say some things. The one who makes all things new. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. Children born not of a natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh, and he made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one, the only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Whoo! May God bless the reading of his word today. That is a powerful word from God. The one who makes all things new. You know, I listened, I wasn't able to be here last week, but I listened to Brother John's talk online. I was here for Mike's talk. I'm telling you, our God is so incredible. We didn't talk. Speakers don't talk about what you're going to talk about. Anybody that's a speaker knows that. We trust that God gives us the message. We read from the same book, the Holy Scripture. But what He brings together is on God. And I'm telling you, John and Mike, what you shared fits in with what I'm going to share today. So God has a plan. He weaves it all together, even in our own ignorance, if I can use that word. He still makes it all happen. He makes all things new. So thank you guys for getting us off to a great start in Huddle this year. Over 2,000 years ago, you guys, that's a long time ago. Over 2,000 years ago, heaven opened up and God sent His precious gift in a manger in Bethlehem. God gave His only Son as a gift for all who would receive Him. You see, a gift is not really a gift unless you're willing to receive it. This single event marked the whole new beginning a fresh start, the one who makes all things new. God's plan was and still is today to make all things new through Jesus Christ. I wonder if there's anyone here today needing a fresh start. I wonder if there's anyone here today needing a new lease on life. I'm going to tell you about the one who makes all things new. Do you know anyone that needs a fresh start? Do we have a responsibility to share what we've been given? Somebody would be shaking their head on that one. Yes, we do. Too much has been given to us, much is expected. New beginnings are possible. That's the best news. That's the hope that we have through Christ. God created a new order, a new creation. And because He is who He says He is, we all can have that new beginning or that fresh start. Come on, man. I need somebody up in here. Thank you, Zoe. This picture, where'd it go? This picture that I use, and I ask you guys, you know, do you see yourselves in that in any way? Does this picture say anything about you, your brokenness, where you've been? Because there's several ways to look at this. Yeah, you can look at it as threat, or you can look at it as opportunity. The Scripture says that if a man is in Christ, he's a new creation. You can look at this and you can see anguish, brokenness. You can see new beginnings. You can see somebody standing on a rock, peeling away the layers, becoming new, celebrating, looking to God, honoring Him, thanking Him, praising Him. Or you could see anguish and brokenness. Again, I use this in a group room where I do some counseling with addicts and alcoholics. And the first thing I ask anybody to come in is to observe this, look at this, tell me what you see. Tell me what this means to you. How do you see this picture? So I'm asking you guys today, when you share at your table, you'll have an opportunity to do that. Second Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. There it is again. The old is gone, the new has come. I want to share a story, and I think I'm going to read this story. So if you'll forgive me, see, my wife doesn't like me to read to her, so this is my chance. And I have friends, I'll read stories to them, and they're like, I can read it, Chuck. You don't need to read it to me. But I want to share this because I don't want to leave something out that I think might be important to somebody. See, this is a story, a true story, about a little boy that grew up in Kokomo, Indiana. And the story begins by a little boy coming into the world without a daddy. Somebody was supposed to tell him to turn his cell phones off. Where's management when you need them? The story begins with this little boy who came into the world without a father figure. And to this very day, he still has not met his biological earthly father. You see, his mother was not married when he was conceived. Some of you are thinking about that one. Well, so what does that mean? Illegitimate bastard child is a title given to children that are born out of wedlock. Not a very endearing term, certainly. And he was to learn at a very early age that there's a negative stigma attached to being an illegitimate bastard child. You see, his mother was working a full-time job. She didn't have much time to take care of him, so she found an aunt and uncle to place him in the care of, thinking that might be the best thing. No father figure. You see, this little boy's father was married to another woman and had a family and children to take care of. Well, unfortunately, this aunt and uncle, the uncle was a raging alcoholic, very abusive. The aunt did the best she could to try to protect him from the uncle, but she was also under the same duress with a raging alcoholic. Well, as you can imagine, even at a very early age, this little boy started feeling rejected, abandonment, lonely, unwanted. It must be my fault for your own parents to give you up, to put you in a situation like this at the age of 5, 6. So what little people do, I guess big people do this too, they begin to turn it inward. blame themselves, beat themselves up. What could I have done differently? What could I have done wrong? What did I do that could have caused me to be in this situation? There must be something wrong with me for neither my mother or father to want me. What could I have done? The little boy never got hugs or kisses. Never, "I love you, son," from a dad or mom. Didn't get to play catch with a dad. Hear a bedtime story. A mother to read to him. So as he began to grow up and see how other families lived, can you imagine seeing how they looked, how they acted, how their parents showed up, how their parents hugged them, kissed them, gave them rides to and from games? What it did was only serve to intensify that hurt, that pain, that brokenness that this little guy already felt. So what happens to us as human beings when we take all that in? In counseling terms, we begin to do one of two things. We either implode or explode. Explode is called acting out. Anybody in here ever acted out? Come on. I don't want to call anybody out, but I know a lot of you. I've seen some of you act out. You've seen me act out. Yes. Well, what happens is those feelings of hurt, anger, and resentment, they'll come out, usually on or around people that we care the most about. And why does that happen? I'll give you a little free counseling. It happens because we believe those people will still love us, still care about us. They won't abandon us. And if you lose that, what have you got left? Well, in this little boy's case, he started smoking cigarettes at the age of 12, had a first alcoholic blackout at the age of 14, began stealing mother's pain pills and narcotics to try to ease the pain, used people, places, and things to try to ease the unbearable pain, the turmoil that had enveloped his life, that was so filled up in his mind and soul. Well, as most of you know, those kind of things only intensify. They get worse. In the disease of addiction and alcoholism, we call it circling the drain. You're just circling the drain, and it's progressive, and it gets worse unless somebody intervenes or someone intervenes and stops the bleeding. By the age of 19, this little boy was filled with physical, emotional, and spiritual darkness and pain. You see, he was trying to find something to fill that void, that emptiness that was all up inside, the brokenness. So all he found was temporary fixes. That wasn't working. So he thought the only way out of this hopelessness, this despair, this depression and anxiety was to end his life at the age of 19. Can that happen? Does it happen? Way too often. The story could have ended here, but there was an intervention. You see, God had a plan. He sent a Christian girl into his path. She began to share God's unconditional love, acceptance, forgiveness, grace, mercy, and most importantly, hope. The most important word in the English language for people that are broken. Van, I see you shaking your head. You know that. You've seen that brokenness on a daily basis. People need to know there's hope. This little boy needed to know there was hope. She was to become his best friend. She eventually led him to counseling, to a Christian church where he accepted Christ as his personal Savior. He began to find a place where he felt accepted, loved, unconditional love, right where you're at. We're going to love you right where you're at with all your nasty stuff that you're bringing up in there. Well, as you know, that's the beginning to accept Christ, begin to let Him work in your life, but it takes staying connected, you know, and continuing to work on things in our lives and allowing Christ to work and to reveal and to give us truth and light. One of the reasons we come to huddle is to continue to have those things revealed to us. We can only get better as they're revealed to us, and Christ wants us to surrender those things and to accept His unconditional love. He found a connection with a heavenly Father. A real sense of peace and joy was beginning to fill his heart, mind, and soul. And what happened in this case, this little boy who now at the age of 19 met this young lady, they ended up marrying, having three children, live in Kokomo, Indiana, continue to grow in their relationship, and two of the three children are married. I know all this because I am that little boy. This is my story. And I wanted to share that with you today because I know a lot of you know my story, but I think there's quite a few that don't or haven't heard maybe some of those gory details of my acting out. And I'm not going to tell you any more about my acting out, so that's done. Now I can move on. Well, one of the things that, one of the blessings that I have is to get to work in a job where I get some training, get to do some really cool things. And I got to take this mask-making class. And I use this illustration a lot to explain what happens with people is that, like, we come to huddle, we go to church, we go to work, we put on a mask. Now, sometimes I understand that that's necessary. You know, we can't walk around naked all the time, right? Or revealing ourselves to everybody and everything about us. So, I mean, there's a purpose to wearing a mask, but there's a time when we got to take the mask off and get real. And in the program of 12-step program of AA and NA, they talk about the tables. You know, and at Huddle, we got tables. And one of the things we're to do at those tables is to share and to be open and to get real and take off our mask. And behind that mask, my mask, you know, I was the golden boy. I played sports, you know, went to Anderson University, played football. But I was a mess. But I could put on the mask with the best of them. Streetwise, manipulating dude that could talk it with anybody, anytime, anywhere. Diverse as anything you could put in my path, and I would survive it. And there's a reason for that. I grew up in Gateway Gardens. I grew up in the projects. You know, so you learn to survive. You do what you have to do in the projects to survive. But on the inside was a little boy that was broken, filled with shame, chaos, fear, anger, anxiety, depression, brokenness. This is the life before Christ. The second mask that I made describes my life after Christ. Look at the inside now. Somebody tell them. It's all clean. That's what Jesus Christ does for us, for me, for you, for your friends, your family. He wants us to be clean, to be free. Wow. That is so good. Oh, well, the front represents what I think is freedom. I love butterflies. So what I did, I put a butterfly, the best I could draw on there, to represent metamorphosis. Now that's a big word, but all it means is coming out of the darkness up into the light. A caterpillar is up in that cocoon. It's dark. It's dreary. What would happen if we cut that open? And some of you tried that. That's acting out, you guys. You cut that cocoon open, you stop the growth process. You know, we go through what we have to go through to get where we need to get. But this is where Christ wants us to be, free. So all those things that were on the inside are now on that butterfly. All those colors that represent those different things are now on the outside. I'm out. Here I am. This is who I am. Thanks be to God. Christ set me free. And I want to close this to give you guys time to talk. I want to close it with a reading. Here I am reading to you again. See, I'm getting all my reading out today. Becky, you won't have to hear any reading from me. Antoine Fisher. Anybody ever seen the Antoine Fisher story, true story? The first time I saw that movie, I was flipping channels. Came upon it, started watching it. I was intrigued because they were telling my story through Antoine Fisher. Antoine Fisher's story was my story. He wrote a poem and he read it during that movie. I cried like a baby. Today I'm going to read this with strength because of who Christ is in my life. It says, "Who will cry for the little boy? Lost and all alone. Who will cry for the little boy abandoned without his own? Who will cry for the little boy who cried himself to sleep? Who will cry for the little boy he never had for keeps? Who will cry for the little boy he walked the burning sand? Who will cry for the little boy, the boy inside the man? Who will cry for the little boy who knows well hurt and pain? Who will cry for the little boy he died again and again? Who will cry for the little boy, a good boy he tried to be? Who will cry for the little boy who cries inside of me? Jesus Christ, that's who. He's the one who makes all things new. Today, my brothers, I challenge you to get real. Take off your mask. Share your brokenness. Christ wants to set you free." Closing prayer. Father God, thank you for the freedom that you give us. The choices that you give us, God, I pray that we continue to surrender what needs to be surrendered to, God. please shine your light on any spot, any area that we need light. And then help us, Lord, to have the courage to walk with Christ every day in every way. I ask this in His name, which is above all names, in Jesus' name. Amen.